Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Yeah, it's been great. It's a sunny morning here. It's supposed to get up into the 80s today. We're here for the NFL meetings, which will continue today. And some votes expected to take place and things of that nature.
Oh, right.
Things
right.
Starting to wind down now. That's like a,
yeah, a little
boom
bit.
And then a crescendo, and it just kind of.
Well, we have the whole NFC coaches breakfast
have that
fiasco coming up here, which doesn't apply to us as much, but we'll get all kinds of headlines and clips and snippets.
Absolutely.
And all that.
Absolutely. I'm already looking yesterday. Here. They're starting to
come. They've filtered in, yeah.
There is one that I didn't see from yesterday. This, I guess, Jimmy Haslam, the Browns owner, talked to reporters either yesterday or late yesterday or early this morning. And he was asked this from the Akron Beacon Journal about the fully guaranteed contract that he gave to Sean Watson a year ago. And he said it would be inappropriate to comment, but then he defended the Watson deal, saying every team, every business has to look and do what they think is in the best interest of their team. We did what we thought was in the best interest of our team. We feel that way. So we're excited to, if you will, have the stuff behind us. This time last year, how many games is he going to play? Is he going to play? Is he going to play? Is he not going to play?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be there the whole season now, barring injury. Heaven forbid, he's going to play all 17 games and hopefully more. I think that alone is a bigger leap to the organization, to Deshaun, than to all of us.
Okay. I mean, they made their decision. He's the owner. I mean, he should defend it.
Absolutely.
I didn't think
his call.
I didn't think that was a strong defense of it one way or another, and he can do whatever he wants with his money. One thing about the guaranteed contract thing, which to me applies to Lamar more, I think it's a little overblown because hypothetical, Colts, Commanders, Falcons, whomever, signs Lamar to a three-year deal. I mean, a four-year gets a little dicey, but a three-year deal – fully guaranteed. Well, you're not going to cut him in year one anyway.
He's going to see all of that.
He's going to see it all anyway. I mean, some of it's just, you know, semantics.
I think what people need to understand about this is that when you give out that kind of contract, fully guaranteed, all of that fully guaranteed money has to go into a bank account.
I know. Escrow, right.
Into escrow because
the owner has to set it aside.
Yeah.
Right.
So when Haslam signs Deshaun Watson to a $230 million deal that's fully guaranteed, he had to take $230 million
of his and his family's
money
and put
that into escrow.
Yeah, and that is a big deal.
Because it's fully guaranteed. It has to sit there. Now, you're going to get interest on that and things of that nature. But
right, but you can't go buy things with it.
You can't do anything with it.
Right. So, and all these owners have a lot of money, but that hurts some of the family businesses. You know what I mean?
It's a quarter of a billion dollars.
To me, it's like you or I walking into, Volkswagen dealership and just buying the thing flat out, or a house, something huge purchase for you. I mean, again, every ownership is different with their finances, and I can't comment on that. What do I know? But, I mean, that is a big deal, and I think that's probably as big a reason why owners aren't as excited about that as anything.
You're
making me do something with my money that I don't have.
If you're going to lay out that large amount of chunk for one player, that's just one player.
That's just one player.
You've also got other players on your roster who you also have guaranteed money in escrow.
I mean, who's to say the T.J. Watts and Miles Garrett and Aaron Donalds don't say, well, I'm not a quarterback, but I want to do it now.
Yeah, right. So the guaranteed money, that stuff has to
be stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know
what I mean?
So basically you're freezing some of your assets, and that becomes a sticking point.
Absolutely.
So the Colts yesterday spoke about the Colts ownership, and GM and everybody spoke about Lamar and said that they might be interested.
Yeah, they didn't brush it off.
They did not.
Right, right, right. I think they make the most sense. I mean, if Washington's out of it, I think Washington and Atlanta don't seem interested. I don't understand why. Well, Washington has ownership issues, but I think more teams should be interested. The Colts should be at the top of the list.
If you're the Ravens.
Yeah.
And hopefully we're efforting to try to get a Ravens reporter on
the show
today.
Yeah, that'd be great, right.
But if you are the Baltimore Ravens, do you then approach the Colts and say, hey, let's work something out here, because you want to get this done before the draft, because you don't want them signing an offer sheet after the draft?
I think the answer is yes. I think you start to get proactive, especially with the news yesterday that Lamar's demanding trade.
Well, apparently he made that trade request March 2nd.
We heard about it yesterday. Right,
He just finally shared it with the world yesterday. Mm-hmm. Again, if he had an agent, it probably would have gotten out there long before this.
So I mentioned my podcast, Peacock and Williamson. Well, Peacock is a Niners guy. And I threw this at him yesterday, and I wanted to throw it at you. If I were the Ravens, Trey Lance might be my target. I mean, I was kind of racking my brain.
But if you're the 49ers, are you interested in trading him right now because you don't know what's going on with Brock Purdy?
Well, I think that the Darnold signing might get you through that. I mean, they seem to be high. They signed him on day one of free agency. I don't believe in Purdy enough to do any of those.
You're not going to recoup what you paid for him.
Oh, no, you're going to lose 80 cents. I mean, you're buying him at 80 cents on the dollar. But, I mean, he could be some target. I mean, I was racking my brains for
let's talk about this. So if Trey Lance were in this year's draft, where does Trey Lance rank in these quarterbacks?
Third. Lance versus Richardson to me is a conversation.
That's a conversation.
And they're real close.
Yeah.
I'd take both over Levis.
Yes.
I'd take both behind Stroud and Young.
Yes.
So, in that neighborhood, I mean, would I take him at four if I were the Ravens without Lamar? Maybe. But the other problem, too, is you're in year three of a contract already. I mean, like, you got to make a decision. He's accelerated, obviously, in terms of the contract stuff. So that's a negative. I mean, maybe you'd rather have Richardson with two more years of easy money and, you know, controllable contract than Lance, because you know about the same about both of them at this point, which is not enough.
Not enough. Yeah. I mean, again, at this point in his career, Trey Lance has thrown in the last, 6 years, less than 300 passes.
Right. Can you get Lance?
Which is amazing to me.
It is amazing. Right. Would the Niners give you Lance for the Ravens pick? Would you do that if you're the Ravens?
No.
I don't think I'm giving up my first, even though it's later. Yeah. I mean, I might give you a second this year and a conditional pick the year after if he plays X amount of games or something like that.
The whole thing, the machinations of this whole thing are fascinating.
It is.
To see how this works out. And obviously, it affects the Steelers.
It does.
And,
do you think the bridge is burned, though? Do you think Lamar could he be persuaded to go back?
Harbaugh said yesterday that he has not spoken to Lamar at all.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah.
What surprises me, too, are I think if I were the GM of 5, 6, 7 teams, I'd at least fly down to Florida and chat with them for the day.
I think nobody wants to be the team that sets the price.
I mean, you could just at least hear his side of the story, spend the day with the guy, feel more comfortable about the situation. I mean, all that stuff's legal right now.
Yeah.
You know, especially the Atlantas of the world and teams like that. I mean, I just don't understand that.
Well, I mean, we don't know that they haven't, because, again, there's no agent out there.
No one's telling us what's all going on.
Pumping the information out there to everybody.
It's kind of like nothing we can really remember.
Pushing the narrative, yeah.
Right. Interesting.
Because that's how this all works, is, the agents put a lot of this information out there. Mm-hmm. Again, Lamar put the trade request in March 2nd.
Right, and that's a long time ago.
3 weeks ago.
If he would have had an agent, we would probably heard about March 3rd or March 2nd.
Without a doubt.
Right.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's
sticky, to say the least.
It's very fascinating. I'm just amazed by the whole thing. But, it all started from that fully guaranteed contract.
How we started to share with Watson and all that.
And meanwhile, you've got Joe Burrow sitting out there going, I'm going to get a new contract here.
Oh,
soon.
Yeah. Herbert and Hurts are coming
up. I want to see what happens
and...
with Lamar. I want to see what happens with these other guys. Mm-hmm. I'm going to want more money than Herbert.
Back to the 3-year
I'm
going to
want more money
with...
than Hurts.
If I'm Lamar, though, when it's all said and done, a three-year deal gets me back on the market again. Maybe I'm a lesser player at that point, but you're going to get a pretty decent contract unless the next 3 years are utter disaster. If I'm an owner, maybe I will give you the guaranteed 3 year so you can go make it sound like you won. You know, I mean, I got a fully guaranteed contract. It's only 3 years. It's not four or five or whatever. But I got what I asked for, and now I get to hit the market again. I mean, everybody, you could phrase it that everybody wins. I could see that getting done, you know, contractually could be the answer, no matter where he lands.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's not my money. So.
No, right. And I'm not sticking 120 or 130 in escrow either. You know.
Yeah, I mean, that's again, that's the sticking point of this whole thing. I saw something today on Twitter that Josh Allen has made like five times as much money as Lamar Jackson at this point in his career.
Really? Just because he signed early?
And they're in the same, you know, same draft class.
Hmm. I guess that makes sense. So just because he signed his deal 2 years ago?
Yeah.
So he got the giant bonus, and he's making more per year. He was also drafted earlier in the same class, much earlier. You know, so yeah, I guess that makes sense. But if I'm Lamar, I'm like, quit trying. You know, eventually you should have acted earlier, or something should have got done a year ago.
Well, you know, and I don't know that, again, if he has an agent.
Right, right.
This stuff, you know, he's, during football season, he's concerned about the football stuff.
Oh.
And in the off season, he's training.
He's like, training.
I don't know. The whole thing is just crazy to me. But
there really are two sides of it, and I very much understand both. The thing I don't understand is not having an agent.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean. I understand him wanting the Watson deal. I understand the Ravens saying, you've been hurt the last couple of years, and what if you're not as dynamic of an athlete 2 years from now? You know, I mean, your play is a little different than others. But I don't
also
understand,
you know, from Lamar's standpoint, I'd be like, you haven't helped me a whole lot.
They've hurt him more than helped him, in my opinion. I mean, in terms of weapons.
Like, I'd have so. Like,
I forget who put that out.
We got to, you know, we got to draft wide receivers.
Yeah.
Wide receivers, wide receivers.
Yeah, and they don't. And they traded away Marquise Brown, who was probably the best one they've added. So.
And I wonder just how much of this whole, I don't want to say animosity because it doesn't seem like there's a ton of animosity there, but I wonder if that's a sticking point in this whole situation. Like, you took my best receiver away from me last year.
Right.
You didn't draft any.
And I'll be honest, I mean, I think that scheme didn't help him much either. I mean, it put him in harm's way a lot. But more than that, like, they don't have a lot of layup throws. They throw the ball down the field, in the middle of the field.
They don't throw to the backs a lot.
Never throw the backs. That's what I was about to say, too. Yeah, they throw to tight ends, but they don't throw outside the numbers. The middle of the field's always crowded. They're always throwing contested balls. They don't have a lot of easy dump-offs for him. It's a lot of 1-2 run.
Yeah,
right. And everyone kind of knows what's coming. So I was excited just as a fan to see him with a new coordinator, which we're going to see no matter what, I guess.
Yeah.
You know.
I also wonder how much of this, Matt, the Ravens are a team that uses the analytics a lot.
Very much so.
Very analytically driven. And we've talked about this before in the show. Teams the second time around against Lamar.
Right. Like, he's great against NFC teams.
The first time around, the first time you see him, it's because of that speed, you're like, oh, you know, that he's faster than he looks on tape. You know, we weren't ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you see the teams that play him more often, Cleveland, Pittsburgh,
right.
Cincinnati, and some of the other AFC teams that play against him on a, you know, regular basis. So I wonder how much
I do think there's something to that.
You know, Baltimore's looking at the analytics and going, okay, he's been around the block now.
There's
everybody's,
definitely more of a block.
Everybody's seen
him. Right. Someone's coordinated against him.
Yeah,
there's going to be a lot more second appearances now than first for him. You know, I think there's absolutely something to that. He does take you by storm of, wow, he's faster than I thought on tape, and we have nobody to replicate it during the week of practice.
Right, yeah, you can't practice it.
And they play a different scheme than everybody else. They have a 290-pound fullback.
Yeah.
They play 60% of the snaps. Nobody else does that. You know, right.
Yeah. So this whole thing is interesting.
It really is.
Did you see what Belichick said yesterday?
Yes, but I don't recall it.
And we're hoping to have Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal on later here. But Belichick was asked yesterday what would give fans hope that this whole that the Patriots can turn this thing around this year and make the playoffs and actually win a game. And he just said, well, I guess the last 25 years. Is that kind of is he getting this a little bit of, again, the hubris here?
The grumpy old man slash hubris.
Talked about it last year in the summer when you don't have an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. You're going to let your defensive line coach call your offensive plays.
What
are we doing here?
It seems like ancient history, but the Hall of Fame, Mount Rushmore of coaches, don't really end gloriously. You know,
not usually.
Landry,
no.
Even Coach Knoll, Shula. The last couple of years aren't, glorious. Walsh got out on top, but,
But he left early.
It's kind of rare. You're there that long. I hate the term the game passed him by because Belichick will forget more football than I'll know in my years on the planet, But I think after a while, just like any older human being, you're less apt to change with the times. We both have my dad does the way he does things, or I will too. And the more older I get, you get set in your ways, and he's had so much success, why would I change it? But might be time to change some things.
And yeah, they did bring in Bill O'Brien as an offensive coordinator,
which I think is a great move.
Yeah, I mean, they needed to do that.
There's
no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I still don't like their roster. What's their ceiling?
I know. I mean, time and time again, we talk about who are their really good players. Who are their B or B plus or A players? There aren't many. I think he gets more. I've said this 1,000 times. Bill the coach bails out Bill the GM a lot. And that's true over the last 20 years too.
Yeah.
But especially lately. And now the bailing's harder.
Are they the fourth best team in the AFC East right now?
If Rodgers is a Jet, then yes, easily. Yeah. Easily.
And maybe,
In the AFC, I think they'd be fifth in the North.
Yeah.
Third at best in the West.
Yeah.
Behind Jacksonville in the South.
Second in the South, yeah.
Yeah. So that's five teams below them?
Yeah.
Four?
It's not a great roster.
No.
And,
no.
I mean, they don't have the draft picks. Again, you're stuck in that middle.
You're stuck in that middle. And
clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right.
I think Mac Jones rebounds, but he's not going to be a top 10 quarterback this year or one of the top eight in the AFC.
Well, that's another reason why I wanted to have Greg Bedard.
Yeah, that would be a good conversation,
about,
right?
Mac Jones in that year too, and how that ties in with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
So hopefully I'll text Greg here again here just to remind
him. Yep.
Talked to him last night about it, so hopefully we get him
good.
On here.
Different angle on things.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's all over that division too, right?
Yeah. He does great work, and also covered the Packers for a long time too. So
they have some quarterback stuff going on.
Stuff going on, yeah. So, but interesting. I don't recall a situation like this with two high profile quarterbacks at this time of year.
This late.
Previously.
MVP winners can absolutely help a team and are upgrades for
the draft's less than a month away.
Yeah. Yeah. It is bizarre. Everyone just assumes Rodgers is a Jet. I tend to as well, but every day I assume it less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when does that happen? And, he didn't show up for offseason stuff in Green Bay.
True. True.
Like, is he going to show up and throw with their Jet receivers, the new guys he's working with? Well, I know who these guys are. I don't need to throw,
At least it's the scheme he knows. They hired a very friendly Aaron Rodgers hire. But when's it too much, too, of just bending your roster and your coaching staff for the quarterback?
Denver did that last year.
Exactly.
Hey, we're
going
to try to get Aaron Rodgers. Let's hire Nathaniel Hackett.
And they settled for Wilson.
Yeah.
And I think Rodgers is a great player, but if he would have went to Denver last year, would they have been 13-win team all of a sudden? I have my doubts. They were also crushed by injuries, but, I don't know. I'd be interested to talk to Greg what he thinks about the division, assuming Rodgers is there. Are the Jets a legit contender, or are they just better than they've been?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know that.
They're certainly better, right.
You're banking on the running back coming back from a knee injury. There's a lot of moving parts there that – we've been down this road last year with the AFC West.
Right.
All
the moves the Raiders and Denver made. And
everybody was, this is going to be the best division in the history of football.
Mm-hmm.
And it most certainly was not.
And making sweeping changes is a volatile move as opposed to building through Mahomes and those around him, yeah, or even Herbert, or, you know, right.
Mahomes is a different animal. He's the unicorn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, when people talk about, well, how do you catch the Chiefs? Well, I see this all, you hear this all the time. Well, how do the Steelers outscore the, you know, they can't, why are they building their defense? It's all about offense. You got to be able to go into Kansas City and outscore Mahomes. Really? You think that's going to happen?
I heard an interesting take on this. Is Daniel Jeremiah, who works very, very closely with the Chargers. I think he's their color guy. I'm not positive, but he does something on game.
He's their
color guy. And he was citing a game, Chargers-Chiefs. It's very late in the game. Chargers have a lead. They have to kick off to Mahomes. Uh-oh. You know, there's not much time on the clock.
Yeah.
And what he was saying on his podcast was, well, they don't have Tyreek Hill at this point. If I have anyone in the league to cover Kelsey, who do I want? Derwin James would be pretty high on the list.
Yeah, right.
And he still was at a huge disadvantage in Kelsey scores. You know, like, and Dan and DJ's point is, not that defense doesn't matter, but late in the game, Mahomes and these guys go through everybody. You know, everybody blames, oh, Steelers defense isn't clutch enough. So I do think there is something to, you got to score 30 to be in those games.
Well, and to me, know? So I look back to the playoff game the Steelers played there a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm,
where the defense gets 6 consecutive stops.
Right, right, right.
And one of those is an interception that they or fumble was it a fumble return the return for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And you look up at the end of those 6 possessions for Kansas City's offense, and it's 7-0.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you do have to be able to score in those situations.
Sure.
But if you get stops on them, it's the same thing that happened to the 49ers against them in the Super Bowl a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
San Francisco's up 2 scores going into the fourth quarter, but it still wasn't enough.
Still wasn't enough.
But if your defense is good enough to hold that offense down.
I do think it's a balancing act.
Yeah.
I mean, by no means would I just say, just give me
we want to play a 57-56 game with these guys.
Right, right,
you're
going
to lose that 9 times out of 10.
Yeah, I'm not saying draft receivers with your first 3 picks and just ignore defense.
Yeah.
But I am.
But everybody looks at it that way because the Bengals had beaten them,
mm-hmm,
and nobody gave respect to the Bengals defense. The Bengals defense
played really, really well.
Yeah,
I mean, no mistakes.
Good.
You know,
shut them out in the second half of that.
Very physical.
You know.
Right, right, right. And they made a lot of adjustments, and Mahomes looked lost.
Yeah.
One of the only times I've ever seen his career.
So you have to be a balanced team to beat them. It can't just be, let's load up on offense and
mm-hmm
go in there and try to outscore them.
Right. But I don't think you're going to win many 2017 games against them either.
No, you're not going to do that. You have to be able to score. But again, their defense isn't great.
No, yeah, right, 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 and probably never will be.
That's the weakness.
That's the weakness.
Right.
Yeah.
So if your defense can get some stops and your offense is good enough to control the football and score, then you have a chance.
And Mahomes isn't going anywhere, but Kelsey's not long for this league either.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give them something. I think their philosophy is, when they lost to Tampa with all those O-line injuries and he just got crushed in the Super Bowl, I think they made a very concerted effort that if we protect Pat and give him one weapon, we're going to be really, really hard to beat.
Yeah.
And they've invested in the O-line, and they continue to this year, and they have that one weapon. But what if they lost it?
Right. Yeah, you just don't know. We're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We are live from the NFL meetings here at the Arizona Biltmore in Phoenix. You can also watch us, I'd like to remind everybody, on the Steelers YouTube channel. Today's show will be broadcast there later on today. We want to thank everybody who watched that one yesterday and still watching it. I think some people are.
Mm-hmm.
Check
it out.
Yeah, check that show out on there and give us a like. Leave some comments there.
Stuff.
We appreciate all that stuff. But we'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson, and we are The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. And, Matt, we really haven't talked a lot of draft here.
No, we haven't.
Since we got out here. We did 3 hours yesterday and didn't really talk any draft.
I don't think we talked any draft or even brought up a prospect.
But as we sit here, our friend Bucky Brooks.
I haven't seen this one.
Dropped his mock draft 3.0 on NFL.com. So I thought we'd roll through that one here real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Before we are joined by some of our guests here.
When we do, I want to bring up pick 2 here. I just heard somebody throw a spin that I'm a little interested in.
Okay.
All right.
At 1, he has the Carolina Panthers taking C.J. Stroud.
Okay. So I think that's going to happen. And now, Bryce Young has the same agent as Deshaun Watson.
Okay.
And that didn't go well with the Texans back when or whatever. Would you consider being a Lamar team if you were them? Or, and taking a step further, their new head coach is D'Amico Ryans.
Yeah.
Defensive coordinator. And nobody stresses D linemen like the Niners. You know, like, if you take Carter or Anderson at two, maybe roll the dice on a quarterback at the 10 pick, I think they pick, or 11, wherever it is, or talk Ravens with not the second pick, is that a better move? D'Amico Ryans, also a Bama guy, by the way.
Also a Bama guy, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think he'll know all about Bryce Young.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
I mean, you know agents better than I do. Like, do some agents and teams just oil and water? I think millions of dollars.
I mean, I think it comes down to each particular player. Mm-hmm. I don't think an agent would be silly to burn a bridge with the team.
And the other thing is Houston's changed dramatically since.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
point.
The GMs and everything, the coaches are gone. So I don't know that you necessarily look at that and go, "Yo, this we can't deal with that guy."
I mean, people forget this about the Watson saga is he asked out way before any of the massage stuff came out or any of those things.
Yeah.
You know, he was unhappy with the way the organization was run, and now it's run differently.
Differently, yeah. So Bucky has Houston taking Bryce Young. Mm-hmm. Arizona at three then takes Will Anderson.
I did a team needs project. Their D-line is remarkably bad.
Yeah,
I mean,
awful.
Was bad last year, and Watt retired and Allen left. I mean, it's remarkably bad.
How about this, though, Matt? At four, he has Indianapolis taking Tyree Wilson.
I don't think that's crazy. I mean, there's obviously another shoe to drop there in that situation, too.
Yeah. He said adding a quarterback is a top priority, given the free agent signing Gardner Minshew currently sits first on the Indianapolis depth chart. Mm-hmm. But grades on the available QB1 prospects do not match the Colts' draft position. Wilson would give the team a young, energetic pass rusher to pair with Kwity Paye on the edges. He's not saying that. He's saying,
right,
they're in play to go get Lamar.
Yeah. They're the most obvious one. They got a big chunk of cap change, and they have the need.
Yeah. Seattle then takes Jalen Carter.
I can't see them passing on him.
Yeah.
Especially Pete Carroll's age, too. Like, I don't know what now.
Yeah. Six, Detroit takes Devin Weatherspoon. Do the Lions need another cornerback?
I don't think so, but I'm sure they didn't expect Wilson not to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, who would you take instead? I like Gonzalez better than Weatherspoon, but, I mean, it's
still the same conversation. Yeah.
But, you know.
At seven, the Raiders take Christian Gonzalez.
Sure. He could go anywhere in those top seven or eight.
At eight, the Falcons take Lucas Van Ness.
Really? I have mixed feelings about Lucas Van Ness, but I see the appeal.
At nine, the Bears take Peter Skoronski.
Makes perfect sense.
At 10, the Eagles take Nolan Smith.
He seems to be really gaining steam in a hurry.
Yeah. He's a, I mean, 4.39 is a 4.3. Mm-hmm. 4.39.
Yeah, and he's productive and versatile and leader and all this good stuff.
And the tape's good and everything's. At 11, the Titans take Paris Johnson Jr.
Sure. I think. Would they pass on Richardson or Levis, though? Rarely do you see the opportunity to take the quarterback at 11.
I think Levis falls.
I think Levis falls, too.
Yeah. At 12, Houston takes Jackson Smith and Jigba.
They've added a lot in the receiver room, but you know my love for him. Many of these teams should take
him. You got a huge man crush.
Yes.
Speaking of huge men, the Jets take Osiris Torrance.
They have guards, though.
Yeah, I don't know that that's a fit.
Yeah, unless they're going to plug him in at right tackle and see how that goes. But, I mean, he's a good player.
He could. At 14, New England takes Broderick Jones.
Sure. I mean, I think Jones is going to go at about the latest at Green Bay there.
Yeah. At 15, Green Bay takes Miles Murphy.
Fine. If you were the Patriots, though, would you take Richardson over Broderick Jones?
No.
At least give Mac one more year and protect him. Yeah, me too.
You said Miles Murphy. 16 is Joey Porter Jr.
Okay. I might do a quarterback there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which takes you to 17, and he has the Steelers taking Deontay Banks, the cornerback out of Maryland. I don't know that would be my pick there necessarily.
No.
Based on how this fell.
Steelers don't like how this fell. Because only two quarterbacks are off the board.
Only two quarterbacks are off the board, but I would think that you would be getting some calls right now.
I would think so, too.
You'd be getting calls
especially because the Lions are next.
Yeah, the Lions are next. Then you got Tampa Bay.
And Seattle.
Then you got Seattle.
I think you'd get a ton of calls.
I think you get calls from those teams trying to move up, and, mm-hmm. and I'd be all in on moving back.
I'm warming up more and more and more to moving back at 17. So, in a way, if two quarterbacks are sitting there at 17, it might make that easier to happen.
Yeah.
But if you're stuck to stick and pick, would you have taken Banks? I mean, there's Branch, there's Brissett, there's...
To me, with things falling like this, I'm just looking to see where he, if he... Branch goes at... We'll get there. Branch goes at 24, Brissett goes at 26.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they feel more of a pressing need right now for this team.
Than the corner.
Than the immediate cornerback. Because you can get corners, we've talked about
32
it before.
And
you'll get cornerbacks deeper into this draft. You're not going to get...
Sticking
one of
and
those
picking
guys.
Is a little rough on the Steelers here, though.
Yeah.
You know,
based on what happened in this draft. Yeah.
Right. But I would not cry if Banks was their pick at 17. I totally understand it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if that's all you got to do it here. He's our highest rated guy on the board. You just take him.
Very athletic.
Yeah. At 18, Detroit takes Kalijah Kansi.
Okay. I'd be shocked if they passed on a quarterback twice.
Yeah. At 19, Tampa Bay takes Darnell Wright.
They sure need it. There's been a lot of talk of moving Wirfs to left tackle, which I guess depends who they get.
Well, Darnell Wright, you probably move him to left tackle.
Yeah, you move him to left tackle then, right.
20, Seattle takes Anthony Richardson.
That's a home run. You get Jalen Carter and Anthony Richardson. You know, living for today
without trading up.
Without moving at all. Yeah. I think every Seattle fan would take that in a heartbeat.
At 21, the Chargers take Bijan Robinson.
And the Eckler
That's
trades.
Making more and more
right,
sense.
Right.
22.
And the other thing is Eckler's up after the year. I mean, even if you had a year with the two of them, is that the worst thing in the
world?
Right.
22, the Ravens take Cam Smith.
Okay. I feel less and less certain he'll be a first rounder.
At 23.
I would take Quentin Johnston if I were them over Cam Smith.
Yeah, but they just seem to completely, care about their
They draft corners
wide receivers,
right.
At 23, Zay Flowers goes to the Vikings.
Makes perfect sense. They have more needs than people realize.
Yeah.
They could go quarterback. They could go anywhere on defense, receiver.
As I mentioned, Brian Branch goes 24 to the Jaguars.
Mm-hmm. Be a stabilizing force for them.
At 25, John Michael Schmitz goes to the Giants.
Their interior line needs help.
Yeah.
And they have a lot of spots. But
26, Brian Brissett goes to the Cowboys.
I would be thrilled if I was a Cowboys fan with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At 27, Jordan Addison to the Bills.
I'd be pretty happy if I was a Bills fan with that, too. Right.
At 28, Dalton Kincaid, the first tight end off the board at 28 to the Bengals.
His buddy DJ had Kincaid go in like 12th.
Bengals just made a signing at tight end.
Oh, yeah, I like the Irv Smith signing.
Yeah,
so
Bengals
they added
signing
him,
Irv Smith.
That's their second one they've signed, right? And they lost Hayden Hurst. I thought they signed two. Maybe not. Maybe that's the first one. If he stays healthy, that's the big caveat.
That's the big if, yeah. He hasn't been able to do that. Right after that at 29, another tight end comes off the board at Michael Mayer.
To the Saints. Okay. I could definitely see tight end there, but I think D-line's the pressing need.
At 30, Mazi Smith goes to the Eagles.
That would make sense, too. I mean, they're looking for a Hargrave, big-bodied, thick, athletic.
He couldn't be
guy.
Any different than – I don't – again, where's the production?
Oh, I know. It's not close to Hargrave's.
And then Adebowale goes at 31 to the Chiefs.
Okay.
So if things fell that way,
Levis would be sitting there.
Levis would be you'd be getting
calls.
You'd be getting calls about 32 as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think who best available at each position would be: Levis, Jahmyr Gibbs, Johnston.
Yeah.
DeJuan Jones. Who? Any other line? Harrison.
Tippmann.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go interior.
D tackle's pretty picked over.
Yeah.
There's probably an edge or two.
The linebackers are all sitting there.
They're all sitting there. Every other safety, but I'm only thinking about one. And I don't think there was a corner drafted since Banks.
Cam Smith.
Smith, okay. Yeah. Who do you like there?
Ooh. I like to trade out of that spot.
DeJuan Jones wouldn't break my heart.
No. I mean, I definitely see a tackle there if you've taken a cornerback in the front. That's to me is why there's not a defensive tackle that I think I would take there at 32.
Would you consider Mazi Smith if he were still available there? I have mixed feelings.
I have mixed feelings, too. Like, he's never going to be on the field for me in passing downs.
Right. I'm not talking anything bad about Carl Dunbar, but that's a lot of faith in your D-line coach to say, take this unproductive athlete
guy. This guy that had one tackle for a loss last year and turn him into something.
Yeah. I mean, that's just asking a lot.
Yeah.
He could hit.
That's why, to me, if I'm in that situation, I'd rather take the big guy. If Brissett is there, I'd rather take him at 17.
And then get a corner, whoever you want.
Yeah, Ringo at 32.
Yeah, yeah. Ringo at 32 wouldn't break my heart. We never end up doing that, but that would not break my heart at
Absolutely.
All.
Absolutely. I mean, and that would be a nice.
Hey, Pat, Pete, you and hang out with Ringo every day.
Yeah.
All the time.
Walk across his grave a few times.
Right. You guys hang out and just be buddies.
By Johnny Ringo. He looks like somebody just walked across your grave. That joke would never get old if the Steelers drafted Kaylee Ringo.
It hasn't in the whole draft
Steelers.
season.
Steelers.com would have to do a whole, like,
dress up
video.
With
it, dress him up. Yeah, get somebody dress up like Doc Holliday and standing under the tree out by training camp.
Good stuff. Weird mock, though, there by Bucky.
A little different.
Quarterbacks falling.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's lying season and everything changes.
It could certainly happen. I'm
warming up to the fact that it could, especially Lamar ends up in Indy.
I'm hearing more and more stuff about perhaps Levis falling down a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know what people think of Richardson, though.
He's one of the wild cards. Bijan Robinson's a wild card in this draft.
Yeah.
Jalen Carter's a wild card in this draft.
I still feel like Carter's floor is 10, though.
Yeah, I guess I saw.
Could the Bears or
somebody else's mock had him falling in like 19? I'm like, there's no way.
There's no way. I mean, I know he's done some.
Well, let's talk. Okay, so Jalen Carter's there at 17.
Yes, run.
You sprint to the.
And just like we talked about with Pat Pete, you say, "Hey Cam, I got a little project for you. Let's put an extra wing. Sidney Crosby moving in with Mario.
We're gonna pay for you to set this guy up in your house.
And you guys be best friends, and you teach him the ways, and you will benefit as well.
Yeah,
the two of you get the
all those
passer.
All those double teams that you've been getting.
Yeah,
he's gonna take a lot of the pressure off you.
Think of that. I mean, if Ogunjobi's your first guy off the bench, you know what I mean, and it's third and eight, and you have Cam next to Carter with Highsmith and Watt. He's the best player in the draft. I mean, that's like a Randy Moss-like fall.
Yeah. That's like Warren Sapp falling.
Yeah, the Hall of Famers.
Here. Yeah.
And not all those guys that fall work out. Some of them are screw-ups.
Yeah, some of them really fell because of a reason. But they just drafted George Pickens out of Georgia. You heard similar rumblings about George Pickens last year, immature and all that stuff.
Right.
I talked to people. I did a big story on him, soon after I got hired by Steelers.com. And talked to some people at Georgia, talked to people in his hometown. I had nobody say anything to me about it. I talked to Daniel Jeremiah about him.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody was telling me he was a bad guy.
I got a lot of it was he's extremely competitive.
Yes.
You know, right. And maybe there's some immaturity there. It doesn't mean Carter's the same. I've heard immature with him, too. You know,
I mean, I think when you look at George Pickens, from the time he was probably 5 years old, he was going to be a pro receiver.
Yeah,
an NFL receiver.
I mean, same with Jalen Carter.
Yeah.
I mean, right.
So I mean, he told me he was sit at his desk in grade school and in high school thinking about in his mind what that next great catch was going to look like. You know? I mean, this is what the guy did. He was born to be a wide receiver.
Sure.
So
and not like the Steelers are the only ones that have a recent Georgia guy, but you obviously would call George up and be like, tell me about Jalen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And George is like, dude, just bring him in. Better question. What if he's there at 12 and you got to go move up?
I'm not interested in moving up.
I don't like moving up in this draft at all.
Yeah.
He's the only one I'd even consider.
If you were one player away, I think you move up.
Right.
But I don't think one player away is that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Ooh. It's such a light D tackle.
I know. I hear you. And he's going to be a guy, he's a foundational player, you would hope. For a long time, but
I mean, it's not my job on the line. But if a genie came down and said, "Hey, Matt, I'll give you Jalen Carter for 17 and 47," I say okay, because there's not many of them.
I get it. You know? I get it.
And then,
but I don't think he makes that out of the top 10.
And it's not really even probably worth it.
Yeah,
because you look at like 7, 8, 9, it's Raiders, it's Lions. Bears, their defense
to this
is horrible.
Bucky's point, I don't think Eagles. He makes it past Seattle.
I don't either.
I think he's crazy.
I think all this is working in Seattle's favor greatly.
Yeah, absolutely.
At 5.
Absolutely.
Right.
Hey, we're going to take a break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. You're also watching us.
Hello.
Well, we're going to take a break. We are live from the Arizona Biltmore here in Phoenix at the owners' meetings. We'll see what kind of votes come down today. There's a lot of stuff.
Oh, right.
None of the votes this year, to me, are like groundbreaking, game-changing stuff.
I'll be honest. I haven't done my due diligence. I don't even know what's up for vote at this point. I figured you were going to tell me on
turn
the air.
Yeah, you just want to turn the games on and watch.
I figured we'd do a segment about it and I'd learn about it on the fly because I didn't even look. I didn't think about it till this morning.
Yeah, well, we'll take a break. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back. I am Dale Lally. He is Matt Williamson. And, Matt, since you asked about the proposals, let's talk about
Yeah, let's go through this.
Here are the competition committee rule proposals for this year. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. This is The Drive. By the competition committee, to change the definition of a launch to leaving one or both feet.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't love how the launch is set up presently, but okay.
By the competition committee, to make the penalty for tripping a personal foul.
Okay. These are small potatoes, but right.
Also by the competition.
I mean, tripping's almost always intentional.
Without a doubt,
I don't have a problem with that.
To make the penalty for illegally handing the ball forward consistent with other illegal acts, such as illegal forward passes.
Illegally handing the ball forward.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that
means. I guess
means
you can't, like...
Are you talking, like, after the snap, just, like, pushing? I don't know what that means.
Somebody would have to explain that one to me. By the competition committee, to make the penalty for illegal punts, drop kicks, or place kicks consistent with other illegal acts, such as illegal forward passes.
Okay. I mean, they're really
they're
things that nobody cares
again,
about.
Again, that's why none of these are, you know, major, major things.
Right.
This is one of the ones, though, that's gotten talked about a lot. To put the ball in play at the receiving team's 25-yard line when a touchback occurs on a punt.
Yeah.
That's consistent with the kickoff.
Okay, right. I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Touchback's a touchback.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
why is it different for a punt than it is?
Yeah, I would pass that one.
You might see more teams allowing punts to hit then.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to get it to 25.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
I'm not going to field it, certainly. So I've talked with Danny Smith about this before, and he's, you know, about why team – because you always hear every time a punt return guy fields a punt now inside the 10. That used to be a no-no. You didn't do that.
Growing up, you never, ever did that, right?
Now you see guys do it. Well, back in the day, first of all, most of your fields were AstroTurf or something of that. If the ball hit, it was going to bounce.
It didn't stick
or
it wasn't as soft, right?
Now you got so many of the fields that you play on are turf or they're a soft grass. Even the turf fields that they have now are much softer than the AstroTurf used to be.
Yeah.
You can deaden the kick there. And he said the kickers have gotten so much better at it.
It's funny because I asked a friend of mine who's been a special teams coach in the league too, this 10 years ago, he said punters have way more pitches than they used to.
Yeah.
You know, all this Australian stuff.
They can roll it over. They can do all kinds of stuff. They get it to bounce sideways. They can hit a golf ball like Bert Lauten, the Steelers PR director. You know, there's all kinds of things that they can do. They get the backspin on it.
Right.
And so you feel
the nose of it. They kick the middle of it. Like, they have a lot more clubs in their bag.
Yeah. Whereas 20 years ago, it was automatic. If you set yourself up at the 10 and you had to go backwards, you let the ball hit.
Mm-hmm.
Now
and people were trying for coffin corner stuff then, too. You know, more so.
That's not the case anymore.
No, it's changed. The punters are way better. They have way more control.
By the competition committee, to prevent the offense from benefiting by an extension of the half as a result of their foul. So if the offense commits a foul,
it's a
false start. And
So basically you're cheating the timeout.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I think that's a good rule.
Yeah. To put the ball in play at the receiving team's 25-yard line, if there's a fair catch on a free kick, a kickoff, or a safety kick behind the receiving team's 25-yard line.
So that's similar to the punt rule, was just a free
kick.
That's
kind of like the college rule.
Often.
Like you, if it's in the – so the way it is now, if the ball goes into the end zone, you get it at the 25.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying here is if you fair catch the ball inside at the 10 or the 5, it would automatically go out to the 25.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Right,
that's like college does that.
That's like I have a really good kick.
Yeah,
and I didn't get benefited from it.
Because you see teams now trying to place the ball at the 2 and make the team.
Right. No, I don't like that.
And then finally, to clarify the use of helmet against an opponent by removing the butt, ram, spear language from Article 8 and incorporating those actions into impermissible use of helmet.
I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah. Okay, we got some other ones here. These ones are proposed by different teams.
Okay.
By Philadelphia, to permit the use of the zero as a jersey numeral and to allow kickers and punters to use any number between 0 to 49 and 90 to 99.
So they said you're not allowed to have a zero?
No.
No 10s? No 20s?
No, the number zero.
Oh, okay.
But not double zero. You can't have double zero.
Okay. I mean,
we're triple zero.
If you're Jim Otto, though, that was so cool.
Absolutely.
I mean, if my name started and ended with an O, I would want double zero.
Yeah. By Philadelphia.
Chigaquonquo.
Yeah, to permit team to maintain possession of the ball by scoring substitute offensive play, 4th and 20 from the kicking team's 20-yard line instead of an onside kick. So you'd have a 4th and 20 play instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't
know. I mean,
know
I know one. Onside kicks are flawed. But.
Yeah. Some of these are just kind of...
The one that wasn't brought up is I don't like aiding a ball carrier. You know, speaking of Eagles.
That one didn't even make it through the competition committee.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't think
it
was going to pass. Yeah.
I mean,
there's enough teams out there that the Steelers do it.
Oh, everybody does. Crazy if you don't.
Crazy if you don't. Yeah.
I mean, like the Eagles on 4th and 1 are unstoppable.
Yeah.
But good for them. Yeah. I mean, they have the best line and the best running quarterback around.
I'm just looking here.
I don't like aiding a ball carrier.
Anything else that to expand the coaches' challenge system and include personal fouls called on the field?
I wouldn't have a problem with that. But then you're getting subjective, of course.
Yeah.
I think there's some roughing the passer stuff in there, too.
Yeah, right? Detroit also wants to provide clubs more opportunities for a third challenge. I don't think that's going to pass.
No,
you want more challenges.
Viewers don't want that.
Yeah. To expand replay as officials' jurisdiction to allow for consultation regarding any penalty assessment. So basically New York could chime in and say, yeah, that's not a penalty.
I think that's happening more than people think. Right.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. To expand replay officials' jurisdiction to allow for review on failed 4th down attempts.
That's a huge play. I don't mind stopping the game for that.
That one's by Houston. By the Rams to make fouls for roughing the passer called on the field subject to replay and or review by a coach's challenge.
We were chatting about it before we went on the air. That sounds good, but then you see holds and, you know, like.
Mike Tomlin was asked about that one yesterday at his press briefing. He said he's not in favor of that. Mm-hmm. Like. He said the competition committee reviewed like 100 personal foul roughing the passer penalties last year, and there were like 3 that were.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. If it's 3%, okay.
Yeah. And then to expand the crackback prohibition to players who go in motion and go beyond the center to block the split flow block defender below the waist.
They're saying to not allow that?
To not allow that, yeah. To expand it.
I guess it's a...
It's a safety issue.
It's a safety issue. Yeah. It's kind of like a going low with the knees, you know.
Absolutely.
With a head of steam. So, that probably passes.
Yeah, I think so. But those are the rules that are up
not
for...
Not much.
There's not a lot there this year.
Right.
Yeah, so...
Glad I blew it off this morning.
We are going to take another break. He is Matt Williamson. I am Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. And I just wanted to remind everybody that, if you miss any of the show or you want to hear it later on your smart speaker, all you have to do is say, Alexa, play Steelers Nation Radio from iHeart, and Alexa will take care of the rest. We are live from the Arizona Biltmore here in Phoenix for the owners' meetings. They could be wrapping up today, might be tomorrow. We'll see how the votes go.
Right.
But Matt and I will be here until noon today. So you want to come back. We got 2 more good hours of Steelers talk here. We'll be back with more right after this.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the Dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.